Our Bible reading for today is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and I'm reading verses 24 to 29. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last week I attended a conference in Bristol called Setting God's People Free. And there I met a Christian author and speaker called Mark Green. You may have heard of him. Mark is the director of an organisation called the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, LICC, an organisation that was founded by the great John Stott. And I got chatting to Mark over lunch, and he was telling me how he had met his Finnish wife in Zurich, and at weekends they would come to a little known village called Waymo and take part in a community called Le Brie. It had a profound effect upon him. Since 2002, as the director of LICC, Mark has given himself to something called Whole Life Disciples. I hope this rings a bell with many of you, because 2 years ago as a church we spent time thinking about this idea of whole life discipleship. In fact, on our announcement sheet where we have our prayers, you will often see the little phrase TTT, which means this time tomorrow, and it invites us to pray into what we and others are doing this time tomorrow. That was one of the consequences of our time spent thinking about whole life discipleship. And the idea of whole life discipleship, simply that, discipleship is for the whole of life. Discipleship is more than Sunday. Discipleship is everyday faith. Today sees the end of our journey through the Sermon on the Mount. At the end of the sermon, Jesus is pressing urgently for a decision. Jesus' teaching always expects a response from us. And he's inviting us to decide, will I take the wide road or the narrow one? Will I become a good tree or a bad tree? Will it be the Father's will or will it be my will? And so to end the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells two stories in parallel. Each story has two things in common and one significant difference. Two people are building a house. These same two people, having completed their build, experience a storm. However, although one house stood still, the other collapsed. Question: why did one stand and the other collapse? Answer: the foundation. One had built on rock, the other had built on sand. Now, just in case we are left wondering how to interpret this story, Jesus issues a spoiler alert right at the very beginning of his story. He's about to spoil the movie because he's about to tell us the main plot. He tells us right at the very beginning the meaning and the purpose of what he's about to say. And we see that in verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man, and so on and so forth. Listening to the words of Jesus and putting them into practice is the meaning and the purpose behind this story. Listen to Jesus and practice what he says. Jesus wants us to hear his words and put them into practice. Do this and your house will stand. Don't and your house will fall. Let's take a moment and think about the two things that each builder has in common. Every one of us is building. I think that's what Jesus is wanting to say to us at the get-go. Everyone is building. Everyone is building a life. Everyone is building a character. Everyone is building a life. Everyone is building a character. So what I'd like you to do at this stage, I want you to press the pause button. Press the pause button for a moment and think about, if you're on your own, just think to yourself, or if you're with others, discuss with others, or maybe you're online with somebody right now, maybe just have a quick chat, about what does it mean to build a life? What does it mean to build a life? And when you're ready, just press play again. Much earlier on in my life, others built my life for me. Parents, key teachers, key figures like my teachers, my friends, and so on and so forth. As I got older, the responsibility for building my life fell to me. This didn't happen by accident. Or at least it wasn't meant to happen by accident. I was now responsible for building my own life. And that meant reflecting upon what values I would hold, what priorities I would keep, what choices I would make, the people I would listen to, the people who I would allow to influence me. What I was building wasn't simply a bank balance or a career, but what I was actually building was a character. A character acts like an internal compass. It's our own personal sat-nav as we navigate our way through each and every situation that we experience each and every day. All of us are building a life. All of us are building a character. So the first thing that the two people in the story had in common was that they were building. The second thing that they had in common was that they both experienced storms. On my way to Bristol on Monday, we took off from Geneva and we climbed out over the lake and turned left over the Jura towards Paris. As we flew over the Jura, we began to experience some quite bumpy turbulence and the cabin crew were ordered to their seats immediately. Later the pilot would explain what he had that we had encountered headwinds of over 180 kilometres an hour and they were making the flying conditions somewhat character forming. The two builders in Jesus' story both experienced storms. We will all experience storms. There is no storm avoidance in life. Even becoming a Christian, even being faithfully prayerful every day, does not mean that we will avoid the storms of life. Sometimes, very rarely, the Lord speaks to me through dreams. It's only happened maybe half a dozen times. But it's very personal to me. It's either very personal to me or it has something to do with the life of our church. And one night I woke with the phrase, storms coming. And that was it. Storms coming. And later that week, the storm hit, metaphorically, and life was quite challenging for a while. We all experience storms. Jesus has already touched on the storms of life throughout the Sermon on the Mount. He's talked about losing a loved one. Blessed are those who mourn. He's talked about the experience of conflict. We will all experience people who consider themselves our enemies. There may be the storm of poverty. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? There's a storm of power. When you have power, It may not feel like a storm. In fact, it might feel like an opportunity. But one of the most threatening places, the most threatening experiences we will ever experience in life, is when we are powerful, successful. Relationships. The reality of a deep connection being fractured through failure and divorce. Jesus has talked about this in the Sermon on the Mount. He's also talked about the storm of hate, where you are so hurt, so offended, that you're left feeling that revenge is your only option. We all experience storms. As a nation, as a community, as individuals, we are currently experiencing a storm. With the coronavirus, we find ourselves in uncharted waters. The seatbelt sign has come on, and normal service has been suspended. As I said in my little piece in E-News, in E-News on Friday, I have had to actively resist fear in recent days, and instead actively press into the promises of Scripture, and press into the God who I know and who has never let me down. Perhaps you'd like to pause the talk at this stage and reflect on how this current storm has impacted you. What has helped you resist fear? Once you've finished, press play, and we'll come to the end of our talk. Everyone experiences storms, and these storms reveal our foundation. The foundation upon which our lives are built. And this is the variable in our story. So there have been two things in common. The two men are building houses. The two men experience storms. But here's the one variable in the story. One man has built his house on the rock. The other has built his house on sand. This is the difference. Some of you will remember Fanta Clark. He spoke at one of our church weekends many years ago. Today he sent me an article from the Belfast Telegraph, a broadsheet local to Northern Ireland. It was entitled, "Coronavirus is an enormous challenge to the modern world's me first culture of entitlement." It went on to say this: "Coronavirus means we're asked to think of others more than ourselves. But are we up to the task? The idea of public duty, doing the right thing by others in society, regardless of personal cost or inconvenience, has become a dead duck. We live in an age of me-first entitlement, in which duty plays next to no part. Say what you like about traditional religion, but at least it taught the virtue of self-sacrifice for the greater good. Today, society is more self-absorbed than ever before. It's all about how I feel, what I want, the way I look, the offence you cause me." Storms reveal our foundation. And in this particular article in the Belfast Telegraph, this journalist is suggesting that the coronavirus storm is revealing the foundation of some of our societies. But storms do reveal our foundation, both individually and as a community. I am very conscious of the danger posed by this virus. I'm conscious of the economic challenges it's going to bring. I'm conscious of the disruption to our lives. It is also, though, an opportunity for the people of God to shine and to serve the community at large. So for a final time, could I invite you to pause this talk and to ask yourself the question, how might the people of God shine at this particular time? So, let's bring this talk to a conclusion. Isn't it interesting that Jesus talks in terms of wise and foolish builders? He doesn't talk in terms of good or bad. He doesn't talk in terms of skilled or unskilled. He talks in terms of wise and foolish. In the Old Testament, wisdom was the distilled experience of a life lived God's way. Let me say that again. Wisdom was the distilled experience of a life lived God's way. To be a wise person was to live life God's way. And Jesus takes this ancient Old Testament understanding and he does something dramatic and controversial. He says this: a wise person is someone who lives life his way, the Jesus way. And this is discipleship. Living life the Jesus way, formed and shaped by his words, filled with the life of his Spirit. So as we come to the end, not just of this talk, but of the sermon, our talks on the Sermon on the Mount, what does a life built with Jesus as the architect look like? How does that happen? I want to end by taking you back to Bristol and to the conference I attended on whole life discipleship. As the conference was coming to an end, we were invited to imagine the difference whole life discipleship would make if we all fully grasped it. And to help us do that, we were invited to use our imaginations, to dream a little bit, to picture, to visualize what this might look like on a day-to-day basis in a local church. And we were invited to give these thoughts, these dreams, these imaginations, a title. A friend on the Swiss delegation attending this conference entitled her thoughts and dreams like this. She used these words: when you walk into the room, everything changes. When you walk into the room, everything changes. And I asked her, why did you choose that title for your dreams and for your imaginations? And she said this: I see such a deep transformation in people's lives. Lives that have been formed and shaped and submitted to the teaching of Jesus. That when someone walks into a room, be that a living room, be that an office, be that a classroom, irrespective of where that may be, when that person walks into your room, because Jesus has changed them, formed and shaped them, everything changes. I love that thought. May we at All Saints be people who are so shaped by Jesus that when we walk into your room, everything changes. Amen.